Blog Talk Radio. Bendito Pai, em nome de Jesus, nós nos chegamos a Ti nesta manhã, nesta tarde, também, pedindo-te que nos assistas. Fazemos a Ti, Senhor, os nossos corações para que possas, através deste programa, Senhor, cumprir os Teus desígnios, fazer a justiça, a bondade de Cristo, todos aqueles que estiverem ouvindo, também aqueles, Senhor, que ainda irão ouvir este programa. Que através deste instrumento, Senhor, tu possas repor a justiça a todos aqueles que um dia viveram debaixo de uma opressão, de uma desigualdade, Senhor, fruto da malignidade dos poderes do mundo. Entregamos a Ti, Senhor, este povo, ao dedicarmos este programa, Senhor, está sofrendo as injustiças do homem. Pedimos, Pai, que tu possas tocar os corações para Cristo, devolver a fé no Deus que nós servimos. Todos aqueles que um dia perderam o rumo, Senhor. Todos aqueles que sofreram nas mãos do homem. E deixaram de poder ver o teu filho. Tu abençoes estes missionários, Senhor, por estar aqui neste programa, tem estado na linha da frente, tentando, vai combater toda a agenda do inimigo sobre a vida daqueles que tu tanto amas, aqueles que um dia não te conheciam, Senhor, mas te procuravam. E nós, Senhor, que herdamos, Senhor, a possibilidade de conhecer-te, muitas vezes não conseguimos transmitir àqueles que te procuraram a tua beleza, a tua bondade. Esta é a nossa oração, orando para que as pessoas possam ser tocadas pelo testemunho destes missionários e entender que não é apenas um trabalho humano, mas que é o teu reino que está sendo levar aquelas vidas ali, e que o inimigo tem feito tudo para impedir esse trabalho. Esta é a nossa oração, sabendo que tu és poderoso para responder muito para além daquilo que nós te pedimos, em nome e para a glória de Yeshua, Jesus Cristo. Amém. Bem-vindos, amigos. Nós hoje vamos ter um programa muito especial. É para isso que Deus nos levanta, nos perdoa, nos renova a cada dia para darmos o fruto. E vamos dar aqui um testemunho do irmão Marcos, também do irmão Curtis. São missionários cristãos, sendo segundo o irmão Curtis já um fruto deste trabalho, um jovem indígena que se converteu a Cristo. Está ajudando um missionário ali numa reserva nos Estados Unidos, no estado da Dakota do Sul, onde foram cometidos nesse estado muitos pecados, pecados nacionais, pecados americanos, onde um povo foi enganado, onde o antigo governo dos Estados Unidos destruiu toda a esperança de um povo que confiou no governo dos Estados Unidos para impedir mais guerras, entraram em um acordo. E a única promessa que os Estados Unidos cumpriu foi ficar com a terra dos índios. E hoje eles vivem numa reserva que dizem que é deles, mas que têm que pagar rendas, têm que pagar por tudo ao governo dos Estados Unidos, que a única coisa que se lembra dos índios é quando há guerras, para os levar para as guerras, para lutar as suas lutas. E hoje vivem sem dinheiro, sem empregos, com altas taxas de criminalidade. E aquilo que era um dia as terras deles, que eles adoravam Deus à sua maneira, com respeito pela natureza, pelos animais, hoje têm que pagar por tudo nas suas terras, que outrora foram deles, ainda lhes impuseram, lhes tentaram vender um Deus que lhes cobra dízimos. E este irmão está na linha da frente do reino, tentando ficar na brecha por este povo. É um trabalho extraordinário, com experiência extraordinária, este combate espiritual que nós vamos ouvir e que eu convido a todos a participarem e de alguma forma se inspirarem do trabalho deste homem para entenderem no profundo do coração o que é servir Cristo, o que é servir os interesses de Cristo. Iremos estar transmitindo também em inglês, espero que entendam. E voltaremos já com o irmão para dar início ao testemunho. Deus abençoe a todos, em nome de Jesus. Welcome, friends. It's a pleasure for us to be here on this day to talk about a great people, a great nation, great men. It's a pleasure for us to have here great soldiers of God, real true heroes of faith, that today they are the example of the servants of Jesus Christ. We will bring Brother Marcos and Curtis, that they are doing the real job of God on this land. They are trying to make justice to a people that in its essence it's more similar to Jesus than we were. A people that were free to worship God the way it was learned by them, with respect to the nature, to the animals. They were free, and now they must pay for everything on these own lands, because the only promise that the government had fulfilled was to take his own land. Now they have to pay for everything without jobs, without money. And besides that, people are trying to convert them to a God that demands tithing for their faith. And this is the evolution of the white man, of the white people. This is the justice of the white people. I want to say to all the listeners that we as Christians of not of the modern Christianity, but the primitive church, we are like you in faith. We are free. We don't pay God to have faith. He gave us all because he loves us. And those who first were sent to teach Indian people to pay tithings and negotiate with God, I hope this program will invert this damage it was done in those people, because Jesus is the only one who can make justice to the Native American people and to all minorities. God didn't choose a great nation. God chose a small family from Abraham to make him father of all nations. And I believe from my heart that is purpose of God in using men like Brother Marcos and Curtis, and using programs like this to start a new beginning, to start to make justice to all those who were massacred by those that serve the powers of this world, the materialism world. Jesus is fair, is justice, and he will not forget the suffering and the injustice of these people. I know that maybe these words now for you are only words, but I know that our words are listened by a God that is a creator. I don't know how he will do, but in name of Jesus Christ, Yahushua, I am a living testimony that he is the God of the impossible. And I'm sure that what we are listening here today from the mouths of these brothers will give you hope, and soon we will see the changes of the conditions of life of these people. The man only remembered these people to send them to fight their wars outside the United States. But God, he writes everything on his book. So please stay connected with us. We will bring Brother Marcus and Curtis. Join the chat room if you like, because I know that God is here to bring justice. Stay connected, because what God does is forever. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Okay, we will try to connect our brothers Curtis and brother Marcos. I hope the landlines will help. Hello, who's on the line?
Hello, my brother.
Brother Curtis.
Hello there, my brother. Yes.
God bless you, my brother. How are you?
Doing fine, my brother. Doing fine. Right now, I guess I'm using my cell phone, and I'm only going to be able to join you guys for a little while this morning. I got to take care of some other business, but Brother Marcus will be with you guys for the duration of the show. Just
cool.
Hold on. Let me see where Brother Marcus is at. he's in here in the house. So
are you
today,
together?
My brother?
Are you
yes,
together?
Well, yeah. He's here in the house.
If you want, we can call you by the phone, Len.
No, my cell phone's fine. I get free long distance calls, so this is free for me. But Brother Marcus can actually join us too in the studio, if you wish to call his landline phone.
I have a landline here. It's 605-455-1069, right?
Yes, my brother.
Okay, so when you want, we can call by that. So now we can talk a little bit here. Brother Curtis, I have been following you since the Brother Marx went to the Hagman and Hagman show. And we are brothers in arms with you. We are more than friends. We want to be partners on this fight. Because like your people, your ancestors, I am married with a Brazilian girl, and same injustice that your people suffer, the same things happen to the people on Brazil, the native Indians on Brazil. And I am Portuguese, and I have to try to make justice to your people. I know what happened in Window Knee, right?
Yes.
That Window Knee. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ, you know him, I know that you know him, is all justice. Even if he permits something bad, the real answer for that injustice, it's on the front of time. It's ahead of time. So I am sure that God has a purpose for everything. And that generation you belong is in your blood. The courage of the warriors of the past. But God is using people like you with the spiritual toughness of your ancestors to fight the good fight for the right purpose. God is using people like you who has thirsty and hungry of justice to bring to this world the more pure justice that exists, that is the justice of God. And I know that you have great experience to tell us about the work of Brother Marcos there. This is not for the glory of man. This is to make justice for people that in these days so much fakery, so much false doctrine, they stay faithful to the purpose, to the real purpose of the gospel. People like Brother Marx,
yes,
they don't earn money, they don't think in themselves. So God has put this purpose on our hearts to make this program, to let people know, people that think that Christianity it's over, that the primitive church it's ended, God wants you to know that it's not true. There are Peters, there are James, there are Pauls today in the face of the earth. And one of these guys, true worshippers of God, true servants, and I can testify this because I heard the tears of this man crying for a people that is not his people. There are James and one of these, James and Paul and John, his brother Marcus. So I want to everybody know that your fight will give fruit more than you think. Because we are together. We are warriors of God, not of churches, not of temples. We are the real temple of God on this land. Brother Marcus is an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he will give more fruit, not only there, but what we will achieve on your lands with your people. It will be an example that will spread through the world. And those people that once they thought they were not loved by God, I want you to know that your people, in his ancestors' way, they were more similar to Jesus than we are now, that modern Christianity is now. We seem people, we are similar to pagan worshippers of pagan gods. We need temples. But Jesus never needed a temple to worship his Father, to serve his Father. And your ancestors, they were more similar to Jesus than us. Only what we need to do to give to your people and to the minorities of this world is the true gospel. And
the success,
Brother Curtis, is to be like Jesus. To walk in this land like Jesus Christ, living one day by one day. And this message will be understood by your people. They just need to see Jesus in us.
Amen. Yeah, brother, you're very right. You're very right. With the nations of the world, not only just the Native Americans here, but other different tribes around the world, you know, native to their own lands. there's an aspect of that, you know, because I was reading on the letter that G actually sent me while sent Brother Marcus about, you know, the Wounded Knee and what happened here at Wounded Knee. And you know, I know a lot of people outside the U.S. they focus on, you know, the atrocities that happened at Wounded Knee and the massacre that happened, the mass grave. And, you know, my people here, they're still very much hurting from that, you know, that is still a very fresh wound in their own hearts regarding that. So definitely, brother, one of our greatest challenges here was to gain back the trust of the people, to let them know that we're not here for anything other than to just share and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. To them, and just love them into the kingdom, my brother. and, you know, it has its set of challenges, I'm sure, with, you know, many different places in the U.S. and out of the U.S. But I really thank God that he's given me the opportunity to be able to minister his word at such a very young age in my life. For those of you that don't know, I'm only 22 years old, 22 years young, and 4 years young in the Lord. But since then, I've seen numerous things that the Lord can do. I've seen healings take place right before my very eyes, legs grow out in the middle of service, people's backs come straight. I mean, just countless things in this short time frame of me knowing the Lord. And it's not just for me or just for certain select men and women of God, but it's for all his saints to start moving into that supernatural demonstration of his power. So, you know, I really do think that. And I get a lot of calls from brothers and sisters, you know, asking, you know, well, how do I start moving into that? Or, you know, how is it that I can do these things as well? And I was like, well, first you just have that relationship with Jesus, and don't let religion, a religious mind, really come into play on that. Because you're very right, brother, about the churches nowadays. Most of them, they preach the doctrines of men and not the gospel of the living God. And there's a fine line between that. The religious church, they'll woo you, or they'll tickle your ears, and they will share things that are pleasing to the heart, but not satisfying to the spirit.
No, what happens, brother Curtis? Well, I have almost 20 years serving God, and I can tell you, because I have been in churches, I have served in churches, and there was a time I could believe that we could change church, but now I don't believe, because I think that the true church of God, the body of Christ, cannot have walls, because it's a spiritual body. We can gather in walls, but we are not confined to walls. You understand? Your ancestors understood this relationship with God very well. So we cannot give them what does not serve to us, you understand, to our spirits. We need to give them Jesus Christ, because His glory fills all the earth, not all the temples, but all the earth. So when we have Jesus free in us to guide us individually and as a member of a family, or even a group of warriors, we give them this freedom we have inside of us. When we are confined to a name of a church, to dogmas of church, we only bring people to be a proselyte, like Jesus said. And that's not in your blood of your ancestors to be confined. Your ancestors were free. They did not have afraid to fight those giants who once walked that land, who have tried to hide from our history. Though your ancestors, they fight giants like David fought Goliath. So I want you to know that not everybody on Christianity agree with this fake gospel. I don't agree, because I have tried to live and I was dying inside. The modern Christianity has change the gospel to a business. And your people are so spiritual that they discern this in the beginning. That's why Native American people are so sad. Because they are sad because they are seeing what the modernity does to this land, to the herd, to the animal. And they were keepers of this. They were so pure. We can see this in these songs. So I want you to know that we will take him, we will give him Jesus, but they have so much things to give us, to us too. This is why I'm in love with all people that were enslaved by my ancestors. I am a white guy, but my heart inside is black, is Indian, you see? Because I know that we need to learn with them. So I'm going just to ask you one more thing before I make an update in Portuguese. I want you to know how you have met Brother Marcus.
How did I meet Brother Marcus?
I want to know how you have met Brother Marcus.
Well, how I met Brother Marcus, it was definitely a God thing. While I was living, this is actually my testimony on how I came to the Lord, because if it wasn't for this man of God being obedient to the word of God, I would not be where I am today. And how I met Brother Marcus was about 4.5, almost 5 years ago. Me and some friends, we were hitchhiking on the side of the road, and he picks me up, and he doesn't say nothing to me throughout the whole car ride except for, "Do you play the drums and guitar?" And I looked at him and I said, "I do have a drum and I do have a guitar. Why'd you ask?" And he said, "No reason." He dropped me off at my house and he said, before you go, I'd like to meet with you in about a week's time. So I said, all right. I was thinking job opportunity or money, because that's just where I was at, the mindset I was at that point in my life. You know, I always associated white people with money. that's just the way it was. But throughout that week, the Lord really started dealing with my heart. He really started breaking some things off of me and also showing me the people I was around and their true intents and motives. And I was like, wow, I'm seeing all this all because I met this guy. And I was like, all right, well, throughout that whole week, it's a very long testimony, but I'm going to condense it for time's sake. Basically, at the end of that week, I went to go meet Brother Marcus, and I showed him around the reservation a little bit, and I started, he was dropping me off at my friend's house again, and he said, okay, I'd like to share something with you. The last 4 years of your life in particular, you've been praying to God about your purpose, destiny, and the understanding of his things. And that right there just captured my attention. And he said, from the age of 12 all the way up to the current date, which was 18, he said, you've been through a lot of things kids your age should not have been through. I mean, the Lord was reading my mail, brother. The Lord was telling me everything that, you know, I was going through with my dad, with my family, with relationships, with friends, and really just dealing with those on the spot. And, you know, he really released the word of the Lord to me that day, brother, and I gave my life to God in the back seat of a Blazer, believe it or not. and I basically told all my friends, you know, I'm not going to do this. You know, I'm not going to hang out with you guys anymore because I gotta find out what this is. I grabbed all my clothes and I grabbed all my stuff and I headed up to his house. And he said, I knew you were coming, brother. I knew you were coming. I said, wow. And just since then, brother, the rest is history. You know, God did a quick work in me for that.
I guess that those guys that you were hanging out, they're still hanging out, right?
Yes. I'm not hanging out with those people anymore.
No, not you.
Oh.
Your friends, ex-friends.
Mm-hmm.
They're still around.
Yeah.
Because I know that I'm saying this because I know there are many problems with crime on the reservation, right?
Yes. And most of my friends right now, most of my childhood friends are either in jail, passed away, or they're just kind of doing their own thing. Those are the three major areas that, you know, what's going on out here. And right now I have yet to have any contact with my old friends. They know where I'm at. They know what I do. And they know the God I serve because I won't back down from it. And unfortunately, you know, I told them, I was like, the door's here. It's always open for you. If you want to still hang out, you know, I can. But it's going to be for a reason. You know, you're going to have to start changing your lifestyle a little bit because I see what's unpleasing to God. And I just want to touch back on something real quick, brother, about you said about the Native Americans and how nowadays everybody's confined to the four walls of a church. You're very much so right, because the Native Americans, whenever they looked at the gospel that the original I guess the original church brought here, they're like, well, why is it that I need to follow your way whenever we're doing exactly everything the same but unhindered? You know, the native people, they already had the concept of fasting, vision quest, and knowing about dreams, knowing about a lot of deeper spiritual things than the church that was coming over. They did not recognize that, you know, the church didn't recognize the spiritual growth and the spiritual side of the Native Americans and how really in tune they were with God. But the thing that they were missing, brother, was Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, yeah. the church, they crammed Jesus down their throats. You know, they put up all these rules and stipulations and all these dogmas to stop them, you know, from breaking away from who God really intended them to be. And, you know, since then, the people have grown bitter. Things have happened out here, and now the government themselves, I was listening earlier whenever you were talking about how the government put us on these reservations and now make us pay for everything that we have to eat. Basically, there are no jobs out here. And that right there is really sad, because they really took away their dependability and their stability on God, you know, and they made them start relying more on man and the government for handouts, for food, for this, for that. And, you know, we try to share with the people that, you know, if we really get back to who we were as a people, things would change, things will be better. You know, you wouldn't have to be looking to the government or Big Brother, so to speak, to sustain your life.
Because these lands, they belong to your people. You were there before us. So I'm going to say something that I have in my heart, but, well, takes where you want. The problem of America, it's not only with this today's scene. The sins of the modernity. America must lead with the sins from the past. And what they have done to the Native American people, the injustice God has written in the book, God doesn't forget. He wants to make all things right, new but right. God will do a new thing, but with justice. If America wants to be healed, wants to be saved from the calamities that are coming, that we all know what is happening, they must start to build from the foundation. And the foundation is make justice to people like your people. They must ask God to forgive what happened over there, how they treat your people, how they deceived your people. Or the gold. This is the truth. They never take care about your people. They only want, the only thing they really want is was the gold of your land. So I ask to Christian people, I ask to people like Doug and Hagman and Hagman that I heard in your show this night, to start appealing for the authorities, to start dealing with the sins of the past. You need, on that reservation and so much more, new houses, new conditions. It's not only giving this fake civilization that we have. It's not human. We must give him to your people chance to see in our actions Jesus Christ. So it's not, if they can build FEMA camps, cannot they build, why they not build new houses for your people? I know that you don't have gas to warm up. I know that there are many people dying from the cold, from the winter. How can this happen in America? How can this injustice happen in a country that wants to bring justice to other countries? This is in my heart to say, because I know that we are being listening for a lot of Christians. I know that people that have positions that can change, that can provoke change, they need to be courageous to say these things. Stop building FEMA camps and start building new homes for your people, for the people that doesn't have a home to live. And maybe there is hope for America. Maybe God will bring his compassion above all America. This is what God put in my heart today to say here from Portugal, because we Christians here don't forget that there was a lot of Indian people dying on the Second World War for us to have this freedom we have today here. And we give thanks not only to America, but to you, for your ancestors, they were killed on a fight. It was not his fight, but their wars. And so many people from your blood, they came to fight and die here to give the freedom that we have. This is the minimum that we can do for you. And we say here, I say here in the name of the Ministry of Destroying Strongholds, thank you. In Jesus' name, thank you. You are great. Your people are great, great, great. They are small in numbers now. They are bigger than the American people, bigger than the Portuguese, bigger than the German, than the English and the French. Because if we are what we are now, because people from your ancestors, they died here. I'm going to update this in Portuguese, and I will pass one more song from your people here.
Thank you, my brother. And just real quick before you do, Brother Marcus, I guess he called in on the landline, and I got to get going, my brother. But thank you for allowing me on your show. And Brother Marcus will be joining you for the remainder of the show. So thank you, my brother. God bless you. And thank you, brothers and sisters. Go ahead.
I hope we have you back again soon. You know that our doors is open for you and Brother Marcus, okay? Just want you to know that.
Thank you, my brother. All right. Thank you, my brother. And God bless you. And thank you for having
God
me on. And Brother Marcus will be joining you. God bless.
I will be calling in landline, okay? Então right, nós... Temos estado a falar com... Bye-bye. Temos estado a falar com o irmão Curtis, que é um fruto do trabalho do irmão Marcos na reserva. Jovem que um dia estava sentado à beira da estrada sem rumo, envolvido em coisas da evolução branca, da civilização humana, como drogas e crime organizado, sem rumo, desesperado pelo desenvolvimento do povo, pelo rumo que o povo a que ele pertence tinha chegado, vivendo em condições desumanas, vivendo sem gás para se aquecer em temperaturas de 20 graus negativos, sujeito a todo tipo de intempérie em casas de madeira, voando a cada tornado que passava naquela região, numas terras que eram as deles e que o governo confiscou por causa do ouro que tinha lá, a troco de nada, vendo o seu povo enfiar-se em drogas, em
crime organizado. Aquele missionário um dia passou com o carro e só lhe fez uma pergunta. Eu sei que você toca tambor e guitarra. Venha tocar umas músicas para mim. Naquele simples ato de amizade, hoje ele está servindo o Senhor Jesus. Está lutando pelas vidas dos seus irmãos. E o que nós estávamos falando aqui é que a América, para se curar de tudo aquilo que está vindo sobre ela, tem que começar a lidar pelo passado, pelos pecados, assim como no Brasil, tantas injustiças foram sendo cometidas com os índios. Mas pode crer que aquilo que está acontecendo nesta reserva é uma chacina, é um holocausto. Bebés estão morrendo de frio. Temperaturas de 20 graus negativos, nem eletricidade tem. Mas a América está construindo campos de aprisionamento, de guerra, campos dizem que é de defesa, não é? Contra calamidades. Mas não é capaz de dar condições a estas pessoas. Eles viviam livres em terras deles, não pagavam por nada, em equilíbrio com a natureza, com os animais, e agora têm que pagar por tudo. E o trabalho deste irmão, destes irmãos, é tão difícil que quando não é o próprio governo dos Estados Unidos a impedir que a fé se espalhe, são os próprios espíritos malignos que estão por trás disto tudo, que atacam com estas pessoas, que à meia da noite coisas extraordinárias acontecem. E é o que o irmão Marcos nos vai falar sobre este trabalho genuíno de evangelização, de guerra espiritual. Nós, europeus, portugueses, ingleses, espanhóis, devemos a nossa liberdade não apenas à América, mas o exército dos Estados Unidos era formado por minorias destas. Pessoas negras, pessoas de Índias, que vieram lutar aqui, morrer aqui. Uma luta que não era a deles. E deixaram aqui as vidas para que hoje nós pudéssemos ter a liberdade que temos na Segunda Guerra Mundial. E o governo dos Estados Unidos só se lembra destas minorias quando é para batalhar guerras. Mas nós não nos esquecemos. Nós, cristãos, temos um espírito justo dentro de nós, que é o Espírito de Cristo. Nós não nos esquecemos. E o que eu vou pedir aos irmãos é que sempre que o Espírito Santo vos tocar, vos lembrar deste programa, se não puderem ajudar com contribuições, se lembrem em orações. Porque o nosso Deus move montanhas. O nosso Deus vai fazer milagres por este trabalho. E não só por este, porque eu acredito que quando começar a acontecer, Espírito de justiça vai se espalhar e vai ser um exemplo para todos os trabalhos estão sendo e vão ser implementados também noutros países sobre estas minorias. E nós, cristãos, ricos, civilizados, começamos a tomar conta e a fazer 10% do que este povo fazia na altura deles, quando eram prósperos e felizes, pelo ambiente, pelos animais e pelos outros, uns pelos outros, então Deus vai nos honrar. Eu vou chamar o irmão Marcos, mas primeiro vou passar aqui mais uma música desta gente, para que vocês tenham noção da espiritualidade destas pessoas, a pureza desta gente. Que Deus abençoe. Continuem conosco, que eu sei que vai valer a pena. Deus abençoe este programa. Em nome de Jesus.
Okay, we will try to call Brother Marcus now. We're making the... Hello, brother?
Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and dial again. 034T.
Okay, we'll try again. Something wrong here.
Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and dial again.
Okay, we have some problem here. We'll try again.
Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and dial again.
Just checking the number here. Brother Marcus, if you can use the chat room, confirm this number, please. This is the number that we have here. We will try again. Let me see this. Hello? Who's on the line? Hello? Who's on the line now? We'll try to call again. Okay, I think I got it now.
The number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please try again.
I got it. I think we have connection now. Okay, he's calling.
Hello?
Hello, Brother Marx.
Jose.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, my brother.
Hi, brother.
God bless you today.
God bless you. We were having some problems here with the number. Thanks God we have fixed. How are you?
I am blessed and favored of the Lord, and this is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it, brother.
Amen. This is the plan of God for our lives. This is the army of the dry bones.
Yes.
That God is raising. Brother Marx, it is an honor for us as members of Body of Christ to talk to a warrior like you. I have been following your testimony since you went to Doug and Eggman and Hagman show, since the brother Steve Quayle asked for our prayers for your work. I know that you are in a great, great fight against the devil, and I want to use this program for you to show what is the kingdom of God, because I know that you belong to the kingdom of God. You don't belong to any congregation. You belong to Jesus Christ, and you are doing this for Jesus. So please, brother, let us know how all these things happen, how you end on a reservation forgotten by the man or everybody in the midst of a people that suffer so much. What is your story, brother?
Well, first of all, my brother, I want to say that I enjoy your spirit. You're truly one of his chosen saints, and I thank God for the platform that the Lord has given you, and I do feel a connection between our spirits for his glory and for the kingdom of God. And I just bless everyone.
Amen.
Out there in the audience today. You know, shalom, shalom, and we just speak the blessing of the Lord upon the listeners. But to answer your question, my brother, I was in another state, and I had heard a radio broadcast at that time in the state of California, and one of the Native brothers who lived here, very controversial personality, but yet he was a friend of mine, Russell Means,
mm-hmm.
and he was a Native-born man here on the reservation, and mm-hmm. we had contacted each other after that radio show, began to communicate, and the next thing I knew, my brother, is that I was making a trip to the state of South Dakota to meet this man, and we had a very interesting conversation. And then after I went to meet with him, which was about 3 hours in length, our first meeting, I then went to the place called Wounded Knee. And mm-hmm. as you ascend to the top of the hill on which the cemetery has located, where great atrocities have been perpetrated against the Native American people in a massacre. Now, and understand that at that time, I didn't know the history about the place. I was very novice in a lot of the facts about the massacre. But, my brother, when I went to enter the cemetery, there's an iron gate and fence around the cemetery. The Spirit of God literally stopped me and hit me like a lightning bolt. And, brother, I literally fell on my knees. And the next thing I knew, the Spirit of the Lord began to groan and pray and travail in my spirit. And I found myself on my knees, and I remember putting my right hand on the ground. And I began to cry out to the Lord for justice, atrocities Amen. That had been perpetrated against this precious and beautiful people, the Oglala Sioux Reservation. And
Amen.
In my spirit, brother, this is what astounded me. When I was on my knees praying in the spirit, man of God, I could literally hear the voices of children crying out, adult males, adult female voices crying out in overwhelming kind of pain and agony. And I began to intercede, and I began to ask the Lord to, you know, show his mercy and forgiveness for what has been done to this people here. And I must have spent probably maybe 10 to 15 minutes, sometimes when you're in spirit, time is irrelevant, but if I had to guess, about maybe 10 to 15 minutes praying and asking for God's mercy upon this reservation. And at that point, I got up off my knees, and in my spirit, I knew at that point that I was going to have to move here. Why? The Lord didn't tell me. He just said, go home and prepare to move. So I went back and turned my church over to another young family who had been with the ministry, and ended up in South Dakota. And about a year after that, that's when Brother Curtis, who you just had on, my spiritual son, our first Native convert here, joined the ministry. And then after that, the Lord began to give us direction, insight, and plans and purposes of the kingdom of God for this forgotten people, for this forsaken people. And I heard you mention the word justice, which I want to bring something to the listener's attention from the scripture a little bit later as we progress in this time together this morning. But my brother, that's what brought me to the state of South Dakota. The Spirit of God plucked me up, pulled me out, and sent me out here, and the rest is history. We've been doing, you know, ministry 24/7, literally sometimes. It's just an ongoing process. So many needs, so many cries for help. Sometimes I feel overwhelmed because of the demands of the people, and I say that respectfully because they do need help. They need all kinds of help, but most of the help they need is to realize that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the answer to all of their needs.
Yes, I agree. And as you were talking, I was being touched by your words, because I can feel since the beginning, since I remember as a human being with consciousness, I had some kind of connections with the Native American people and minorities, because as I think that we are chosen from the womb of our mother to belong to the king.
Yes.
So when we see the atrocities that people do to people, like Native American people, like the slavery of black people, the only thing we can say, what can I do to try to minimize the damage? We individually, we cannot do much, but we serve a God that he can gather an army to make the change.
Amen.
And I, as I said to Curtis, we are not all called for the same works on the kingdom, but some are called to be on the land, do the job. And God is blessing other people with money, with prosperity, to help these people to do the land job. You are on the land.
Amen.
There are many people that are hearing and will hear this show, and I know that God will move his heart to make a donation, to make a help, material hand help for your work. More than this, I want to people understand that the real power we have is in our tongues. As Brother Will Rogers, that is with us in these times of fights, comes to the shows, says, words create worlds.
Yes.
And our words are anointed by
yes.
the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
God will move mountains to answer our prayers for your work, for works like yours, for people like you, and to those men and women that are starting to believe in you. I know that Jesus Christ is guided my life to be an evangelist too. And by the experience that I know that I already had with the Lord, I know this is the beginning of something great.
Amen.
If American people, Christian people, feel in his heart the move of the Holy Spirit by your people, by the people that you are working, I believe that Jesus Christ will save America.
Thank you, Lord.
If Jesus see how it changes, it seems sometimes just a little thing, but it's little thing by little thing that we can do great things.
Amen.
If we have a body of Christ, a spiritual body, we'll take your burden. God will save America. God will spare. God will give more time to American people.
Thank you, Lord.
And God will lead with these satanic, Masonic agents that are polluting our world.
Amen.
That are enslaving, trying to enslave all our lives. It's not because we must understand this. Today is the black people. Today is the Native American people. Tomorrow it's us all.
Right.
Tomorrow is the humanity. And I am a white guy, but I don't do the game the devil wants. I'm on your side, Brother Max. I want to ask you to try a way, manage a way, it's not difficult, to open an account of yourself on the PayPal. It's very easy. You only had to have, I think, one bank account. Because I think there are many people that want to help you from this side, from South America.
Amen.
They cannot send money for mail. I am one of these guys. I want to help you. But
it's easy for me, it's better for me to use PayPal. So if you can manage this, I know that God will bless you.
Well, brother, that's a confirmation, because we had just discussed that this weekend in reference to people out there that is wanting to help. And trust me, I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for everybody that would even consider helping this people here that is under such sub-zero standards. It's amazing. I could give you facts about the joblessness and the suicide and alcoholism and other things, but living here among the people, my brother, and seeing their states of destitution on a daily basis is sometimes often overwhelming in my heart and my spirit. And so I want to say thank you ahead of time for people that are being touched even now by the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God tugging on their heart to send help, because we do need help. I when I was first here, I did everything that I could, and I got myself in a situation where the first winter I was giving out help and assistance and money to everybody else to have propane heat for that winter, and I ran out myself. So it was a cold winter, but I want to say that we are in the process of getting a PayPal account set up, and hopefully we can even have that done within the next 24 hours. Brother Curtis is going to assist us on getting that done. And I'd like to say to my brother that we are planning on going, you know, on radio with another show possibly Sunday night of next week. We're praying and working towards that end, because we want to get the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God out. I don't preach religion. Mm-hmm. I don't preach men's theology, nor do I preach men's traditions. I preach the gospel that Jesus told us to go and take to the four corners of the earth, and that is the gospel of the kingdom of God. Where you see the word confirmed with signs, wonders, and miracles, and you see the word come alive in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. It's like Paul said when he was writing to the Corinthian church, my speech is not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God, that you will see the reality of the Lord confirmed through tangible and visible manifestations. And our main thrust, of course, is to bring souls into the kingdom of God. And, brother, I want to just share a scripture that was brought to my mind when you were talking earlier in the program. You mentioned the word justice. And the God that we serve is a God of justice. And yet we see so many injustices across the world taking place right now. There's a scripture in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, and starting in verse 14, I just want to read these real quickly and let you comment on that. But the scripture says in verse 14 of the 59th chapter of Isaiah, justice is turned back. That means justice is no longer going forward. We've seen the injustices compounded on every country, every nation, every culture, because of the agenda of Satan to try to bring us into a new world order. Righteousness stands afar off. We've lost the righteousness that we had as a people of having simplistic faith in a true loving God. Prayer has been removed from the schools. Prayer and the Ten Commandments has been removed from the halls of justice. So now we're seeing justice being turned back. We're seeing injustice now coming to fulfillment. It says further in the scripture here, for truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Now listen to this next verse here. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. Now here's the connection, and I just saw this right before I came on the program today. Why has there been such a progression of injustice? Well, I think verse 16 here gives the answer. He, referring to the Lord, saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. So here, my brother, in verse 16, we've got the lack of justice tied to the lack of intercession. Now, I believe that people that listen to your program are spiritual warriors and wanting to be intercessors, and we need you enlisted in the end-time kingdom of God's army to stand in the gap and to pray with faith, believing that with God all things are possible. But the more intercession that we have, the higher the hope we can have for justice to be seen. Now, we're living in end times. There's going to be things happen like we've never seen before, my brother, upon this earth, from above,
true,
beneath, and below. But the power of intercession can prevent and dispel and hold back certain degrees of evil until the appointed time when the Spirit of God is literally removed or taken. But I commend every intercessor. I commend every listener who's willing to pray and willing to intercede and take a hold of the horns of the altar and not let go until,
amen,
God hears your prayers. Thank God for prayer and thank God for the power of intercession. But I just had to throw,
amen,
that in there, brother, because I heard you mention the word justice.
Amen, brother. Before I update this in Portuguese, I want to say just one thing. Please, everybody that are hearing this show, feel free to share this show to your friends. Feel free to spread the word, to see, to show to people that there are Brother Marcos. It's not only him, but there's still hope for the gospel. Show the good things, not only the bad things. Share on Facebook, share on Twitter, share everywhere what the kingdom of the warriors of the kingdom are doing these days. Don't be shy. Share it. Take the link. I have put a link of our blog here on the chat room. Check it. Please, if you like, show, because there are an army being raised for the last day's fight. You said something, brother, about command the warriors. You better believe that there are great warriors listening this show today. I know that there are great elite warriors that God removed from the camp of the enemy. And you better believe they have power. And you will see. You will see if these words that I'm saying, it's mine, come from the throne of God. You will see. Just stand in your position, because God is raising his angel to come. And when they arrive, no devil, no mason, no president, no Satan will stay on his way. You better believe this. We will be the last to left. You better believe, write it on your heart, because I know when the power of the Holy Spirit is moving inside of me. I will not talk about my life now, but I'm making a compromise with you. If you want to stay connected with this ministry, we will stay connected with you. We will invite you to come every time you want. I will call you to tell us the wonders that God will do in the next days, in the next months. And we will all rejoice from the faithful God that we have. Amen.
Well, my brother, I would be more than, I actually feel very humbled to be a part of your radio program this morning. The presence of God is upon you. And I want to stay connected, because I believe that God is doing kingdom connections to wage war in the Spirit of God in the second heavens, to bring at the time appointed every kingdom to become subject to the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and his glory. Hallelujah. I thank God we're going to be a part of that spiritual battle. And the Lord's had me teaching much on spiritual warfare. And we do send out newsletters to those that will contact us by email or by letter. We will send you a free newsletter. I'm right now focusing on some in-depth teaching that you will not hear in most churches across the nations of the world. I'm not bragging, I'm stating fact. God's word must go forth uncompromised and revealed by the Holy Spirit. We've heard too much trash from pulpits. We've been seeing too many impotent preachers sell out and fall away and fall off and not deliver the whole counsel of God to the people. And we want to be there to help, like my brother here is, teaching the kingdom
Amen.
Of God and piercing the darkness.
Amen.
And my brother,
Amen.
I have a word from the Lord. If I'm not sure how much time we have, but the Lord gave me a word to release
okay.
to your listeners today. We're okay?
Okay.
I want to release
Feel
this
free.
Word. I just would like to
update this long conversation in Portuguese, and then we go to your word, okay? Because I need to do in two languages.
Well, that's quite fine, my brother.
Ok. Toda esta conversa com o irmão Marcos, eu comecei por lhe perguntar como é que ele foi parar à reserva. Ele falou-me que tinha entrado em contacto com um ativista dos direitos humanos. Ele falou daquilo e que o levou a uma colina onde foi perpetuado um grande massacre no passado de crianças e mulheres. E que o Espírito Santo o pôs por terra e o fez ouvir todos os choros e os gritos daquele massacre. E ele chorou. E Deus lhe disse, prepara a tua vida. E ele acabou lá. E os frutos estão aparecendo. Se vocês entenderam, vocês puderam sentir o peso que este homem carrega. Nós já tentámos ajudá-lo, mas infelizmente ele ainda não tem uma conta PayPal que dá para fazer transferências bancárias através da internet com o cartão de crédito. Mas eu vou pedir a vocês que, se for 5 euros, 10 euros, 10 reais, 15 reais, 5 reais, perfeito. Lembrem-se que há crianças ali que estão passando temperaturas negativas de 20 graus e não têm eletricidade. Duas, três pessoas que contribuem com 5, 10 euros, 20 reais, 10 reais, dá para comprar uma bilha de gás. Mas mais do que isso, eu quero pedir a vocês que creem em Cristo, mesmo que não tenham oportunidade nem possibilidade de ajudar financeiramente. Lembrem-se que vocês têm um Espírito poderoso dentro de vocês. Que as nossas palavras criam o mundo. Cada vez que se lembrarem que o Espírito Santo trouxer à memória o trabalho deste homem ali, nós vamos falar sobre isso ainda. O que ele tem enfrentado para trazer justiça sobre este povo, a trazer Jesus para este povo, a fazer com que este povo veja Jesus em nós, e não apenas mais uma religião. Cada vez que o Espírito Santo vos tocar, orem por ele, orem pelo trabalho dele, porque o nosso Deus é o Deus dos impossíveis. Nós vamos manter contacto com frequente para nós nos regozijarmos com as respostas. Eu espero que mais vezes nós possamos tê-lo aqui, porque ele é um missionário. Vive de missões, sem apoio. É pelo Espírito. Ele tem o seu trabalho. Trabalha e evangeliza. Tira do bolso dele para dar aos outros. E podia estar em melhores condições na vida. É isso que eu quero que vocês saibam. Se puderem, peguem no link deste programa, copiem e partilhem para os vossos amigos. Deem a conhecer ao mundo este trabalho. Deus vai recompensar. Nós temos que ser ativos no reino. Não tem importância nada aquilo que a gente faz. Só o partilhar, só o fazer chegar a mensagem ao outro, é a luz que se espalha. Deus lhe deu. Mas vamos ouvir o que é que Deus falou com ele. Também nós recebamos a nossa parte. Amen, brother. I have updated here. I want you to, before you go on, I want you to know that I know that you believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but just to share with you and our listeners this ministry. It's a purpose of God, and God has in our community always present us with His gifts. Visions, dreams, and prophecy. And one of the things that God has showed us before even we have this idea to do this show, it was that we were on a road, on a way. It was a dream that I had.
Amen.
And on that road, the way, as I was walking on that way, on that road, a straight road, I started finding people in the middle of the road. I didn't saw almost what they were doing, but when I was closer and closer to that people, I started seeing uniforms on the people. First, it was a green beret.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking with the green beret a lot, and he pointed, go ahead. And I was leading on the same road, straight ahead. Then there was another group. And they were from Marines. They had this uniform. And I start talking with them. And then, yeah, go on. Keep walking. Then it was from the other portion of the army. It was from the SEALs. And God woke me and said, I'm going to lead you to my general.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know that this is not only luck. This is God. He's bringing the elite. And it's you and me and our listeners that will make the difference. I know that there are people this day on this show. They have already talked, this is the kingdom, this is the spiritual kingdom, and I am on, I am not alone. There is hope for the gospel, there is hope for this gospel, and this is where I am going to live. So please, go on, give us what God has gave it to you.
Well, my brother, let me just preface the word of the Lord by saying this, that about 5 years ago, right before I moved to South Dakota, I was in a prophetic apostolic gathering, and the word of the Lord was spoken over me that the day would come that I would have a strong connection to Brazil, Brazilian people, and those who speak the Portuguese. And this, I believe, is part of an overall fulfillment of that word for the glory of God. It's not about me. It's not about anything but just the kingdom of God and His plans coming to fruition. So I count it an honor today to speak on this radio show that's blessed and highly favored of God. And
Amen.
Here's the word of the Lord, brother, that the Lord gave me. And this is for everyone that is a born-again believer today listening to this radio broadcast. Hear what the word of the Lord is. The Lord says, I'm polishing your shields. I'm polishing your shields of faith that the brightness of my glory will blind the enemy to know my plans through you for a new spiritual occupation of your territory. I, the Lord, am hovering
Amen.
Over your nation to birth a peculiar move of my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Glory a Deus. In Portuguese, it means glory to God. Glory a Deus.
I feel the unction of that word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, because I believe it's His word. And I want you to receive that. Your shields of faith, hallelujah, are being polished by
Amen.
The hand of the Lord to reflect the glory of His own power. And when the sun
Amen.
Shines bright, we cannot look directly at it because it blinds us. And the Son of God is going to shine His glory upon your shields of faith so strong, hallelujah, that it's going to blind Satan. It's going to blind demonic entities
Amen.
That want to know what you're going to do, that want to know, amen, the plans of God for your life.
Amen.
God's going to use us to open the eyes of the blind, but God's going to use you to close and shut the eyes of your adversaries, the devil, because the kingdom of God shall prevail. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Your faith will overcome the world. Hallelujah. And your faith
Amen.
Is being, amen, nurtured right now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Brother, I'm going to speak in Portuguese because this is very important.
Thank you.
And then we will hear one more beautiful song of these people. And then I want to you to show in the last 10 minutes to show us the real fight that you had to take Curtis from those spirits.
Oh, yeah.
Because I heard your testimony. I heard your testimony on Hagman and Hagman. And it's important for us to know this. Let me just update. I will put one more beautiful song because they are so beautiful. And then give us the meat, okay?
I certainly will look forward to that. Amen.
Okay. O irmão Marcos estava dizendo que aquilo que Deus falou para ele foi Deus está pulindo os nossos escudos da fé. Para que nós tomemos a posição e avancemos. Se colocarmos esses escudos diante de nós, que vão estar tão polidos por Deus, que vão segurar as forças do inimigo. Não vai haver resistência possível. Cada um de nós tomar a posição de avançar, de tomar a sua parte do reino, lutar pelas justas causas. Se nós agarrarmos e não deixarmos que nos roubem essa fé, essa herança, de pôr o reino em primeiro lugar, os nossos escudos vão estar tão polidos por Deus, pela unção do Espírito Santo, que não vai haver inimigo, que não vai ficar seco, que vai cambalear e retroceder à medida que a gente avançar. Vidas vão ser alcançadas, não mais aprisionadas, mas libertas. Para conhecer o Salvador pessoalmente. Para serem guiadas por Ele. Porque isso é que é o Evangelho. Criar discípulos de Cristo. E não de nós mesmos. Que Ele deixa e que nós diminuamos. Em cada um dos nossos alvos de evangelização. Esta foi a palavra que o Irmão trouxe hoje para nós. Porque Deus, antes de o enviar para aquela reserva, já lhe tinha dito que o ministério que tinha iria tocar muitas vidas na América do Sul, Brasil inclusive, e está-se a cumprir hoje. Hoje está-se a cumprir parte dessa profecia, ao ouvirmos o testemunho do irmão Marcos. E eu sei que vai haver muitos soldados de Cristo no Brasil, que vivem junto dessas reservas de índios. A quem Deus vai chamar para fazer o mesmo trabalho. Que nós possamos ser inspirados por esta música e pelas palavras, pelo testemunho que o irmão vai falar, das lutas que teve para arrancar aquele jovem que teve connosco, do irmão Marcos, dando aqui o seu testemunho, das garras do inimigo, da delinquência juvenil e dos espíritos malignos, que este povo tem sido vítima durante gerações após gerações, enganados pelos mesmos anjos caídos que tanta gente no mundo tem sido enganada. Que possamos nos inspirar na espiritualidade deste povo
Este é o nosso desejo. Ouçam esta música, pois ela chama-se Vozes no Vento. E depois iremos ouvir o testemunho dessas lutas pela boca do próprio irmão Marcos. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
This is the power of these people.
Yes.
This is the power of the people that you are working. How they touch inside of us with this spirituality. Father Marcus, I know that these people are so courageous. They are the ancient giants.
Yes.
If the white people there in America has the freedom, that's because they fought the fallen spirits of the descendants of the fallen ones. Real giants, they try to hide the true story of men.
That's right.
This is how they are courageous. Please show, in these 10 last minutes we have, what was your fight against those spirits that are trying to stop the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life?
Well, brother, let me address that first. Back some number of years ago, the angel of the Lord appeared to me and began to speak to me about a future prophetic ministry, and where we'd be prophesying to literally people groups, nations, and tribes. And what he didn't tell me, what I would be encountering or seeing in the realms of spiritual warfare at that point, because I wasn't mature enough at that point to handle stuff. But my brother, out here, I've seen demonstrations, appearances of a diversity of kinds of demonic and satanic entities that has literally ravaged households. I've been outside the country a few times, other places, South America and other places. But I have seen things here in the realm of the spirit that I've not seen no place else. And I know that's because God did plant me here. He sent me here. But I wanted to share this because you asked about that conversion in reference to my spiritual son, Brother Curtis. You know, Jesus said in Scripture that every time that a person is born again and comes to know him, he said the angels in heaven rejoice. Now, that being said, the flip side of the coin is someone does accept Jesus and they receive him as their Lord and Savior for all who he is and all his glory. Well, Satan trembles and shudders at that very moment because he lost a treasure of darkness, but he does not stand idly by. He tries to go and reclaim those new souls that have been won to the kingdom of God. So there's a warfare from the very get-go of a person's salvation. Now, when Brother Curtis accepted the Lord, and again, you heard his testimony. The Lord sent me to prophesy to him, and I spent probably 15, 20 minutes prophesying the word of the Lord to him about a specific time frame of his life that he had not told anybody about. Only God and him knew about that, except the Holy Spirit revealed it to me. And through the word of the Lord, I prophesied to him, and it so convicted him that he knew God was present. He could not deny anymore that the very God he'd been praying to find has now found him. And I remember when Curtis came to the place here, and I remember going to the front door and said, I was expecting you. Well, Curtis came, and we had a prayer meeting later that night with some more believers here at the ranch. It's not my ranch. I don't own it, but I stay on it and help take care of it. But after he had given his heart to Jesus, the very night that he gave his heart to Jesus, we had finished a prayer meeting, and all of a sudden, after the presence of God began to lift, I felt an evil presence, a sinister presence. And this is about 11 o'clock at night, and out here on the ranch, there's hardly any lights within distance. But I remember walking outside, and I felt compelled to walk out of the darkness. But when I was walking out there in the midst of the darkness, all of a sudden, these, and the best way I can describe them is human-slash-bird-looking demonic entities. There was a number of them that appeared right in front of my face. And my spirit knew automatically that these demonic-slash-looking human-type beings had came in spirit form to try to reclaim Curtis from his born-again experience. And I stood there in the power demonstration of the Spirit and began to rebuke these entities that had appeared right there. And once I knew why they were there by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, I got more indignant because I was not going to allow these spirits to affect this new young brother in Christ. Now, what was happening back at the house was another story, because inside, after the prayer meeting, Curtis had simply laid down on the couch, and he was trying to relax. But all of a sudden, after I came back to the house and told him what I had encountered out there, he was having an experience inside the house where he felt cold, and he felt something evil trying to surround him and trying to put all kinds of thoughts in his mind and stuff like that. So what was happening is these spiritual entities and demonic powers were trying to spiritually blind him and seduce him after he just got born again. Now, here we have the angels of heaven rejoicing because he found Jesus, but now these demons are trying to affect his mind about his salvation. So my point is,
yes,
angels rejoice, demons get fearful and try to institute a plan to reclaim souls that have been born again. And what the church don't teach is warfare. From the day that you're born again, there's a warfare. And so I'm committed, my brother, to teach spiritual warfare. I've got 46 principles right now and working on more from the Word of God that I teach how to stand, how to resist the devil, how to discern entities, powers, and spirits and demons. So, but thank God that Jesus gave us power over all the power of the enemy, and that through his name and through his indwelling spirit, the Holy Ghost, we can put Satan under our feet. But these things are real, brother.
Yes, that's one of the focus now that we must try to recover to the body of Christ, is that the gospel. It's not a message for being people rich in material things. First is the spiritual things.
Yes.
If we don't get ourselves rich in spiritual things, God cannot give the material things, because we will not be able to manage them.
That's
we
right.
will lose everything, because the devil is more powerful than us. He's not more powerful. He's not more smart than God. God
right.
knows the priorities. So if you need and asking God to give something, to give you stability, materialistic speaking, first you must ask for wisdom, for knowledge,
yes.
spiritual knowledge, to know how to manage these things. God is a God of abundance, but he is too a God of wisdom. He knows
yes.
what you most need. If you are able to manage, God will open doors. But if you're not yet able to manage this, the material things, if you are going to lose these material things in bad things that will enrich the army of the devil, God will not give you. God will give you first the spiritual founts, and then
yeah.
you will bring material things. God, one of the comparison that God talked to us is, as in the days of the Noah, you will be in the last days.
Yes.
We must understand that, Brother Marx, I am used to say this, because Jesus was talking about the days of Noah. He didn't say the days of the deluge.
Yes.
Jesus referring the example of Noah. Noah built an ark. We must build our ark, our familiar ark, our individual ark, before the deluge comes.
That's right.
And we will build our ark if we help to build the ark of the other.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's how I see church.
Amen.
Where my brother needs my help, I will be there. I will be, if I cannot be physical, I will be with spiritual and material support. I will engage that fight because it's my kingdom.
Amen.
It's for my king. So, my brother, I know there is a great, great, great spiritual connection. God is raising his armies. God is raising his dry bones. We all were dry bones. I am a simple sinner that God have mercy. I met Jesus when my mother was dying on a hospital.
Wow.
With no hope. And I will leave this for, as we have 90 seconds to end the show, I will leave this for another opportunity that we will bring you again.
I look forward to it.
But Jesus,
brother,
on one night, Jesus touched the hand of my mom while she was sleeping and said, "Don't be afraid, as I have already healed." And my mom, in less than 1 month, she came out from that hospital, and she's alive yet.
Thank you, Lord.
It's going almost 20 years that she's alive. So I will show you this and much more. I'm going to end the show because we have 40 seconds. I want to thank you, everybody. Quero agradecer a todos. We will try to make another show with you, Brother Marcos and Curtis. We will stay in contact. This is only the beginning, okay, brother?
I look forward to it, my brother. I love and appreciate you, and God bless all the listeners out there. Shalom, shalom.
Amen. God bless everybody. Thank you for listening. Please share this testimony. We will be in touch. Stay connected with us and Brother Marcos. Brother Marcos, please leave your link from your show on the chat room for people to know your shows, okay?
We sure will, and we will get that connection going between us, brother, and look forward to some awesome shows together.
Amen. See you guys. Bye-bye. Stay blessed.